to thank him tonight so much.
Amen.
God's so good to me. He's blessed me so far abundantly above what I deserve. As a matter of fact, he has every one of us tonight.
Amen.
I'm here tonight by the grace of God, and so are you. He's been good to us, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to stand up and open up the Word of God. If you would open tonight to the book of Judges, chapter number 2. The book of Judges, chapter number 2 tonight. We'll read a few verses tonight, beginning in verse number 16. Judges chapter number 2, verse number 16 of the Word of God. While you're turning, I don't know about you, but I tell you, I feasted this morning on the message that Brother Lawson preached. I mean, that was the meat of the Word of God. I've been feeding on that today. I tell you, God's Word is powerful. It's good. Every bit of it is good. All right, verse number 16 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them." Let's bow our heads tonight for just a moment of prayer. Our Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your presence. I just want to thank you for saving my soul, for your mercy, your grace, and your long suffering. God, you're so good. Bless your word tonight. Hide us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll speak to our hearts tonight through your infallible word. Lord, we'll thank you for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Study for hours and hours in the scripture, and there's no end to this Bible. You study it for years and years, and you come across things that you never seen before. And God just unveils it and opens it up to you. And I'm thankful tonight for an unending book, an eternal book. This is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'm glad that we have a Bible. The psalmist said that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yes.
I want you to notice in verse number 16, it said, "Nevertheless." It started in that verse, and it started that very first word, "Nevertheless." And I said, "Huh, that's interesting." I want you to bear with me tonight, because some things on my heart that I want to bring out that God's put on my soul, burned in my heart the last few weeks, and this afternoon while studying his word. That word "nevertheless" means in spite of. So that means there's something prior to this that's taken place, that the Lord has set something in place. Now, this is not caught God off guard. You don't catch God off guard. He knows the beginning. He knows the ending. He knows it both ways. And it said, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges." Judges is a great book to read. There's a lot of things in it. God raised up 13 judges here in the book of Judges. And of course, Samson was the very last judge. And Samson was a Nazarite. And the angel of God come to Samson's mother and told her she was going to have a child. So that's kind of like a special birth, isn't it? Or announcement of childbirth. And so the angel of God came to her and said, you're going to have a son. And said he's going to be a Nazarite from birth. Okay, now this is not my message tonight, but I just want to lay a foundation tonight and a thought for what God's put upon my heart. Samson being the final judge, the 13th judge that God instituted over the nation of Israel. And I'll get to in a few minutes the purpose of the judges. That Samson was a Nazarite by birth, meaning that the angel told his mother that even while she was conceived, no wine, strong drink. There was a lot of things that she was forbidden to do in order for Samson to be a Nazarite. And as being a Nazarite, there was a lot of things that Samson could not do. He couldn't come near a dead body. He couldn't go to his father's funeral. He couldn't go to his mother's funeral, brother, sister. He couldn't get around a dead body. He couldn't drink wine, strong drink, anything like that, and no razor could touch his head. Right. And so his hair and his beard and all grew out. And I know that that's cool today, you know, for people. I thought so in the 60s and 70s. I thought it was cool to have long hair. Barry, you look like a woman. Robbie, you look like a woman. I look like a woman if anybody's seen us from behind, because we grew long hair. And we was the hippie crowd. You know, it's always peace, cool, what's happening, man. And, you know, all that stuff like that. But when a Nazarite in Bible times walked down the street, they stood out, and all the people knew that they were separated unto God by a Nazarite vow. Amen. And so Samson was a Nazarite. Now I want to go back just a little bit tonight, and I want to bring a message by the help and grace of God. On, if I were to title it, and I usually don't do that, I'd rather just preach and expound on the Word of God. But if I was titled it tonight, I would say a broken promise. It would be a broken promise. Now I read that verse in chapter 2 and verse number 16. It said, nevertheless. And so when I read that, it causes me to go back and search the Scripture. I don't want to jerk anything out and just try to establish anything, but I want it to be line upon line and precept upon precept. And that's how you establish something in the Word of God. Yes. Now you can jerk anything out of the Bible and create your own doctrine. You can create your own movement, but that doesn't make it right at all. And so I went back and done some studying, and I'm about to read something tonight from the Scripture that is very heartbreaking. And it's hard tonight. It's God's Word, but it's hard tonight to vocally read this tonight and let this sink into our hearts. It tells us tonight about Joshua, the son of Nun. In verse number 8 of the same chapter, said he died being 110 year old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Sees. I can't pronounce that, but in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. Listen to this, please, tonight. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. He specifically names a generation, and I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes, okay? And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. An entire generation, a brand new generation come forward after the death of Joshua and after the men and the elders that followed him. My mind and my heart went all the way back. Brother Lawson mentioned this morning about the children of Israel being 400 years in captivity in Egypt. Actually, they were slaves in Egypt. They had taskmasters. For 400 years, they served the Egyptians. And then God rose up a little old baby that at 3 months old, he was set out in a little old boat out into the river. And Pharaoh's daughter looked out and saw that little child and heard that little Jewish boy weeping there floating in that little old raft that was made out of the bulrushes there. And she ran out and got that little child, and that little child's name was Moses. And he was drawn forth out of the river, and God raised up his great man Moses, that one day would lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The word of God said this, that God reached down and delivered them by his strong arm, as Brother Lawson said this morning, and brought them out of Egyptian bondage. I can remember when I was in bondage. You can remember when you were in bondage. You couldn't break that sin. You couldn't get away from it. Your mind and your heart, you'd say, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. But something about this flesh could not break that bondage. And it took the grace of Almighty God to reach down and pluck you and bring you out of that. And listen, Moses brought them out, but he didn't bring them out until the blood was put on the doorpost and on the door lintel, and they came out by the strong arm of Almighty God with the blood applied. I'm telling you what, tonight, if that don't excite you, I'm telling you, something dead inside of you. You ain't been saved, or you don't get excited about nothing. But listen, Christ tonight has the power to break every bondage in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be in chains and bondage and jail and prison, but thank God he can break the doors loose and set you free. And it's by his grace and his mercy that I'm here tonight. Were it not for the grace of God, Robbie, me, you, and Barry would all be dead. But I'm glad for his foreknowledge that he looked down the road a few years and saw an old-fashioned altar that this young man would kneel down and cry out upon his name and receive him as his personal Savior. And I've never been the same since that day. Not perfect by no means. I don't see anybody in this crowd tonight that's perfect. Not a single one of you are perfect. If I were tonight, or God tonight were to open up the doors of your heart and your mind and the thoughts of your mind, you wouldn't know nobody to read those thoughts. You're not perfect. But listen, Christ is perfect. Jesus is perfect. And he's the Savior. And he can break any bondage that you're in tonight. I've done everything come down the pike. It didn't matter what it was, whatever was in seasons, what I'd done. I met Robbie Cox. You remember that, don't you, Rob? What meeting me or how we met? And then we became brother-in-laws. Oh, God. Yeah, I was dealing drugs, and he came over to a friend's house to buy some from me. That's how I met Robbie. And then we started running together for years. Two dirty, sorry, low-down dogs run the roads of Powell, Tennessee. And the people in the neighborhood, they were scared to let their children out on the road. When we drive down the road, they'd grab their children and run them back in the house to get them away from us. Freddie down at the gas station used to call us happy heads. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. My wife got saved a year before I did. I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and stepped into a phone booth to call my wife. The only time I could call during the week. She answered the phone. And she said, "Guess what happened to me?" I said, "What?" She said, "I got saved." I was raised in church all my life. You know what my response to her was? "Don't push that off on me. Don't push it off on me." My mom and my daddy took my name and wrote it on a little piece of paper at Bible Way Baptist Church, and for years my name was in that little pot. There's a little pot where they put their prayer requests for years. The people of the church, the preacher by the E.D. Mays, would take time out on his radio broadcast and pray for those that were there in that prayer box. And for years, my name was in that prayer box. And one day, one night, at a New Year's night watch service, God answered that prayer and saved my soul. Bless His holy name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God, it's just about preaching season right now. I'm about to get happy, Brother Lawson.
Amen.
All right, brother. Ain't nothing like getting born again. If you've not been born again, you need that experience. My boys, when I went back after getting saved, I was in the army with them. They was twisting them joints up, getting ready to roll and smoke one. They said, "Hey, you want some of this?" And I said, "I don't want none of that." "Why don't you want it?" And I said, "I got saved." They looked at me funny. Some of them understood what it was. Some of them didn't have a clue in the world what that was at all. But they watched me and saw a change in my life. A complete change. And I was called, preacher, I was called everything there is in the book when I was in the army. You know how rough it was. You was in the Marine Corps. The army was rough. But you was called every filthy, sorry, low-down word that you could imagine in the filthy mind. That's what you were called in the army. And if you were a Christian, you just multiply that by 10.
Yeah, man.
Got saved while I was in the army. First young fella I got to lead to the Lord was a little black boy. A witness to him on CQ duty one night. Wrote down little Bible verses on a little piece of paper and handed it to them when they come in at night after drinking half a night. That young man went back to his room and opened it up, read that verse and came back down and sat down and talked to me. And I got to give him my testimony, went back to the room and come back down a little later and said, "I got down beside my bed and I accepted that Jesus Christ that you talked to me about. I'm just a young convert, hadn't been saved long, and God blessed me to win somebody else to Christ."
Amen.
There's a generation tonight that's dying out. Moses led the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Could have been a straight shot, but because of the rebellion of the people, they wandered 40 years.
Amen.
God led them by a pillar of fire by day, by night, and a pillar of cloud by day. He fed them that manna that came down out of heaven.
Yeah.
Moses smote the rock and waters gushed out. God took care of his people. May I say tonight, since the night that I got saved by the grace of God, God's provided every single need I've ever had.
Amen.
Never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. Come time, Moses went up the top of Mount Nebo. Preacher Lawson preached not long ago, and he got to look into the promised land. But because Moses got angry and upset, the Bible said that he smote the rock again. For the second time, that rock is Christ. Christ is to be smitten one time, once for all, for our sins. And God forbade him from going over into the promised land, but he got to see it afar off. In the distance, his eyes beheld it. And there come a time when Moses died and God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel. While they were there in the wilderness, the Lord instituted and gave them the tabernacle that the preacher talked about this morning. A place, the sanctuary, they could worship God. Moses died. Joshua was the one that was to lead them into that promised land, and they bore the Ark of the Covenant where Aaron's rod that budded and those tablets of stone that Moses got there on top of Mount Sinai with the finger of God carved into that stone. The Ten Commandments were inside there, and that little pot of manna that reminded them. The Levites picked up that Ark of the Covenant, and as their feet touched the water of the Jordan River, it walled up and they walked across on dry ground into the land that God had promised unto the nation of Israel. God told Joshua, said, every place that your foot touches is yours. Everywhere you step, it's yours. Every place you go, that's your land. That's what I promised unto Abraham, to Isaac, and unto Jacob. That's the land. And said, be strong, be courageous. Be of good courage. Said, I'm going to drive them out. Don't fear, don't worry at all. Said, I'm going to do it. God said he'll do it.
Amen.
About to have a spell.
Amen.
Well, he provides everything for us, don't he?
Yes, he does.
First thing he done, sent them spies up there to Ai, would he? They looked out across that land. Everything was theirs. They got into the promised land. They started fighting and driving these people by the hand of God. God fought their battles for them. And then it come a time that the Bible said that Joshua divided the inheritance unto the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. The Levites got their portion from each tribe. Their portion was the Lord. They served God. There come a time while they were in that land, God had warned them, said, listen, now when you get into that place, don't mingle with them. Don't serve their gods. Don't worship their gods. Don't bow to their idols. Thou shalt not bow thy knee to any idol. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship.
Amen.
They had the word. They had the word of God to go by. They had the tablets that God wrote on with his finger. They had that to go by. And Joshua led them, and they went through that line and divided up all the inheritance. But it come time for Joshua to die, 110-year-old. And before he died, he called all the elders of Israel together. He said, I want all of you all to come and meet me in Shechem. Shechem in the Bible is like bearing something up on your shoulders. It's a heavy weight. It's about the neck. It's something you just, it's one of those things that you just got to bend over and put your shoulder in it and stand up with it. Joshua is about to lay something on the children of Israel. There's a reason for it. I read tonight out of the book of Judges for this very purpose tonight, because it was quickly. Oh, how quick we are to turn away. We can be like Peter and say, Lord, I'll not deny you. I'm ready to die for you. I'll take a bullet. I'll take a sword for you, Lord. Oh, is that so? Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight before the cock crows. Now, Lord, you know I ain't going to do that. Yeah, you are. And he did, didn't he? Don't you get sick and tired of people that are so holy and pious that you can smell them? They stink. They walk like a peacock. They try to tell you how to raise your children. They try to tell you how to live your life. I'd like to open up the doors of their closet and see what's in there. And I've pastored a bunch of them for a long time. They can be a snake in the grass. Just bite you like a viper.
Amen.
Tell you one minute they love you, the next minute they're sticking their fangs in you. The time of the judges was a chaotic time. The Bible said in two places, in Joshua 17:6, and then I think it's 21:25, said that it was a time that there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. That's where we're at today. They do that which was right in their own eyes. I tell you, our churches are poisoned with that mess. And I think Preacher Lawson mentioned this some time back. I know churches right now used to be Baptist and they went back and changed their names. I'm an independent Baptist preacher. And I identify with that because I believe by my convictions from studying this Bible that they are the closest to what I believe. Now, when they stray from the Bible, when they get away from the Word of God and get out in left field, I cease to be an independent Baptist. I'm a Christian first. Saved by the grace of God. It was a chaotic time. They were doing whatever felt good, just do it. And that's where we're living at right now.
Amen.
And the saddest thing was, and Joshua died. It didn't take long for the nation of Israel to start straying. I was sitting there this afternoon. I don't know why the Lord brought people like Brother Reuben Fields. You remember we set up an old tent right down here in the corner, in the field. Preacher Lawson said, we got Reuben Fields coming to preach. And I don't remember, they was 12, 13 young preachers in the church at that time. And he come walking down this side of this field here and was going to the tent. It was an old-fashioned tent meeting. And he come down through there, didn't even have a Bible in his hand. And all of us little young preachers was turning and looking at each other. Say, look, he don't have a Bible in his hand. He's not even carrying a Bible. Man, I'm telling you, got time for him. Brother Lawson said, Brother Fields, you come up and preach what God's put on your heart. And he done this right here. and pulled out a little old small New Testament Bible and opened it up and read just a few verses of Scripture. And man, I'm telling you, some of the best preaching I ever heard in my life. Simple, but profound. Simple, but to the heart. Simple, but had the power of God in it. Thought of that, Brother Ed Blue. Brother Berman Cape. I see old Brother Berman Cape. I guess he's up in his 80s. Grab his leg and prop it up on the pulpit. I wished I could do that now, and I'm just 68. Shelly knows what happened to me. I'd fall over like a top. And my balance is terrible. Barely get my legs in my britches sometimes without falling. What are you saying tonight? We're losing a generation of preachers that'll preach the Bible to people the way we are without compromising what this book says tonight. A whole brand new generation. That don't mean we got to change. Listen, I'm old fashioned. I grew up under hard preaching and shouting and praising God. It don't scare me one bit for somebody to shout while I'm preaching, to praise God while I'm preaching. It doesn't bother me one ounce for that. What's happened to it today? Even supposed to be fundamental Bible preachers now are changing versions that they use. I still believe in the old King James 1611 Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God. Joshua said, I want all the elders to come and gather. Come here to Shechem. I want to tell you all something. And he gathered them all together. And I'm telling you, he laid something on them. In verse number 14, he said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in, what's that word? Who can say that for me? Sincerity.
Amen.
Said, serve me and serve God in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
Amen.
He gave them an ultimatum, make a decision. And he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood and the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Joshua had his mind made up. It didn't matter what anybody else chose. If everybody forsook it all, Joshua said, I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. He lays this on them. They open their mouth. They say it. They say it. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God.
Amen.
My, what a proclamation made from the people. That's how they answered Joshua. And Joshua said, all right, if that's so, if that's what you're saying, said, let me just expound a little more on this to you, just so you'll understand, and then you give me another answer of how you stand. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that ye have done good, done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses.
Amen.
They swore before God, didn't they? We're going to serve God. We're not going to serve nobody else. I thought of a little lady in the Bible. Wasn't it Hannah that went in and prayed before Eli? Got down there and opened her heart to God. And not a word come out of her mouth. Just her lips moved. And Eli, being the priest, you know, he looked at her and said, you're a drunk woman. Put away your drunkenness. And she said, oh, no, not my Lord. I'm not drunk. I've just poured my heart out to God.
Amen.
And she was crying unto God that God would give her a child. She was barren. She wanted a little baby. And today, through an inconvenience, they want to murder and kill them.
Yeah.
And there's a woman begging for a child. God blessed her with a little baby. And you know what she said to God? That in this fashion, she became a Nazarite. Did you know a male or female, either one could be a Nazarite? Could take that vow. Said, Lord, if you give me a son. Said, I'm going to give him back to you. She had that little child, Samuel. God give her a little baby. She weaned that little baby, and one day it come time, and she took Samuel and took him to the house of God.
Amen.
Shelley, you know what that made me think of? When we had our son Jamie, after we got saved. When we had our little girl Angela. When we had our son Jonathan. And then along come Katie. Each one of our children, we brought them down to an altar and said, Lord, you've blessed us with this little baby. God, you've given us this little child. And we want to dedicate our child unto you. We dedicated our children unto God. Now listen, we raised them the best that we knew how. Most of our children were in a Christian school. That doesn't matter. It can be just as corrupt in a Christian school. But our children, my children, would testify tonight to the way that we raised them under the Word of God. Under the Bible. Am I right, Angie? I was strict with my children. I watched over, I loved my children. I didn't want the world to get a hold of them. So we dedicated them unto God. And God seen fit to take my oldest several months back. But that's God's business. And I can't question God over that. Can't do it. But I gave it to him, and Hannah gave Samuel. Samuel grew up right there in the house of God. She made a promise, and she kept it.
Amen.
I remember years ago, I don't know if they still did it or not, but I remember young girls would come in, and they'd be wearing a little special ring on their finger. I said, well, what's that little ring for? I said, I made a promise to God that I'd keep myself pure till I got married. Now God sent me the man that I was supposed to marry. what gets quiet, don't we?
Amen.
You made a promise to God. Young man, you made a promise to God. I'm going to keep myself pure. What happened to that purity? What happened to that promise that you made with God?
Amen.
It's a broken promise. The Israelites made a promise to God. Said, He's going to be our God. We're going to serve Him. And nobody else we're going to serve. The Bible said this right here, that Joshua wrote the words in the book. Signed declaration from the nation of Israel that they will not bow their knee to another god. He wrote it in the book of the law of God. And then he took a great stone and set it up under an oak tree that was by the sanctuary. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. It says on over at the end of the book of Joshua, that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Brother Lawson, I met you in 1978. Right out of the army. I met you. Brother Barry introduced me to you before that. I think I mentioned that before. But I visited right up here in the old church in 1978. Brother Lawson preached the word of God with power, with anointing. And you know something? I can't do the math right now, but he's still doing it today. And I admire you for that, brother. And I love you, Preacher Lawson, I do. For being faithful to do that. And only another preacher knows what another preacher or pastor goes through. Some people get the idea that, they preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're off the rest of the week. Is that why you're calling him all the time to tell him about your belly ache and you got a headache and asking to pray for you and come visit you here, come visit you there, and keep him on the road 7 days a week? Hours upon hours upon hours upon hours and hours and hours does it take of studying the Word of God to grow, to be able to feed the flock of God. And I'm thankful tonight for the shepherd that I'm sitting under tonight. It's a gift from God.
Amen.
Before I come back home to Temple, I visited a lot of churches. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, that an empty wagon will make a lot of noise. They can try to shout it out and scream it out and sing it out and testify just as long as a preacher don't have to preach. But I'm going to tell you something. God chose the foolish of preaching to save. I know to the world tonight we seem like dumb dogs up here screaming our brains out, yelling, well, ain't going to tell me what to do and how to live my life. That's exactly. Because you ain't going to listen no way. Do you know when you stand before someone to get married and you say to the other one, Me and my bride on August the 10th, it'll be 50 years, the golden. I promise to love, honor, and cherish. And she says, of course, that she promises to obey. We know how true that is. But I know that sometimes that the vows have been broken by infidelity. Maybe some fella down on the job just looks at you just right and says, boy, you really look sharp today, and catches your attention and said, well, my husband don't even tell me that. A fellow, you get down on the job and there's some girl kind of winks at you a little bit. So, oh, preacher, stuff like that, it don't tempt me. Come up here and let me pinch you and see if you feel that. See if you're even alive or not. The children of Israel went into whoredom. Samson had a Nazarite vow on him. And he met a Philistine woman that he fell in love with. He wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to intermingle like that. Now, there's a lot more I could say about Samson, but that's my point tonight that I want to make. It's Delilah. All the Philistines wanted to know, where did Samson get his strength? Why, he tore a lion to pieces. He whipped a tar out of the Philistines. He took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 of the Philistines. He was tired afterwards, got thirsty, and God took his finger and carved out a little place in the jawbone, and he drank water from that, the jawbone of that ass. He killed hundreds and hundreds of the Philistines, and he became the enemy of the Philistines. But when he fell into the hands of Delilah, they came and offered her money. Sometimes that's all that's on people's mind. Be bought off real easy. Compromise because I'm afraid I'll lose my paycheck. Samson told her a lie, what, 3 times? They came up and snuck up and tried to take Samson, and he whooped a tar out of them every time. And finally, one night, she begged him, and Samson got tired of listening to it. And the scripture said that Samson told her all his heart. Can I send up a great big red flag? Don't ever tell anybody but God your whole heart.
Amen.
Because somebody else will tell on you.
Amen.
He broke his vow with God because they shaved his head. Shaved his head. The Bible said this, that Delilah shook him and said, the Philistines be upon you, the Philistines be upon you. And Samson woke up and stood up and wist not that the Lord had departed. Shook himself and thought he'd go out like he did before. And the word of God said the Philistines got a hold of him and punched his eyes out and put him grinding at the mill. We've lost our power with God tonight by broken promises.
Amen.
How many times have we been at this altar when altar calls given and we weep our eyes out before God and said, God, if you'll just do this for me, then I'll do that for you.
Amen.
And not a week we get outside the door, we break that promise with God. And then we come back in here and wonder why in the world we're not shouting the praises of God. I've got to say this. God don't pop in by the flip of the finger. God honors us with the Holy Ghost when he desires to. It's not playing the instruments. It's not beating the drums. It's not the jumping up and down. It's not all the excitement. It's when God says it's time to visit my people when he steps in. And when he does, it's our blessing. I love the presence of God. I was brought up the old-fashioned way. I remember when the men and the women of the church would plow the altar up with their face at altar prayer and cry out to God and didn't care what somebody else heard them say beside them. And I understand it don't have to be audible, but it's got to be from the heart. The people wasn't ashamed anymore. Well, if I repent of the thought that I had about that brother or sister over there, they might overhear it and then they'll go and tell them. Broken promises. Broken promises. There's some of you sitting there tonight. You're sitting there tonight and you've made promises to God. In my text that I read tonight, in verse number 16 of chapter number 2, and I'm going to come to a close here quickly. It said this right here in the latter part of this. Nevertheless, in spite of that, that is that all those that had passed on and a brand new generation had come up, which knew not the Lord, knew not. Listen, that's the kindness and mercy of God right there. He didn't give up on Israel, did he? He extended a hand to them. That was the purpose of the judges, to extend a hand of mercy and grace unto those people. He said, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. I said, spoiled. That's an interesting word to be said. That word means to plunder. By definition, the Hebrew word means to plunder. That means that it's a place or a person that steals something that's important or valuable from you. There may be a New Age movement, but listen, don't let it rob you of the grace of God and the power of God that God's given us. They've replaced tonight the power of God and the moving of the Spirit of God with everything that's imaginable to mankind. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. Now, I've preached tonight what God's put on my heart. Not everything. Not everything, but it's time to be quiet. You got any broken promises? I've broke promises that I had with God. But you know what the Lord made? He gave Samson another opportunity. He found a young lad. His hair began to grow out, restored that Nazarite vow, and his eyes poked out and found a young fellow said, put my hands on the pillar. And old Samson got a hold of the pillars and he looked up to God one more time and repented before God and asked God to restore his power. And when he did, he shoved the foundation of that temple. And the Bible said that Samson killed more at his death than he did all of his life at the Philistines. God makes a way of restoration with him. He's given us tonight the ministry of reconciliation, hasn't he? Instead of putting our brothers and sisters in Christ down and running our mouth about them and whispering about, we are to restore them. The more concerned about, wonder what they're up to, wonder what's going on with them. Have you heard about so and so? Can you believe that they're out there living like that? More concerned about how they're living than praying for them as a ministry of restoration, of getting them back in. I'm going to close with this tonight. If you've got a broken vow, or a broken promise with God, I know some of you's upset with me tonight. That's okay. I don't care. I could care less. It don't matter how you feel toward me. It don't matter how I feel toward you. It's how you feel toward God and how God feels toward you. So you can get the sad look off your face and open your heart to God. Let God talk to you. Let him speak to you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, by the grace of God, you can get saved by coming and putting your trust in Jesus Christ. But if you've broken a promise that you made to God, it might have been a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 30 days, it might have been years ago. And God's put his finger on that tonight. Said, you remember that promise you made to me? You haven't kept it. Said, I'm going to give you a chance tonight to make good on that promise. Would you do that while Brother Andy, you come tonight to the piano? Brother Phil, you come tonight to the instrument. Preacher, you come tonight. I want you to search your hearts tonight. Let God speak to you and you do what God wants you to do tonight. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.